This is Marathon Training Academy, episode 154.
Hello, and welcome to the Marathon Training Academy podcast, where it's all about empowering you to run a marathon and change your life. I'm Trevor.
And I'm Angie.
In this episode, we tell you the story of the marathon that got away. And Angie shares when to not run a marathon and how to deal with the disappointment of foregoing your race. Plus, you'll hear from a physical therapy doctor about the causes of Achilles tendonitis. And if you want to get our help in your training and interact with our awesome online community, please find us and visit us at marathontrainingacademy.com. So, Angie, this weekend, you ran almost 52 miles.
I ran over 52 miles.
You were awesome. So, it's called the Rock Cut Hobo Runs. You were up there. You got this huge piece of wood, this chunk of wood with three railroad spikes. Anyway, it's a very unique award that you got for doing this. And unique is the word that you use when you don't want to say ugly.
It has character.
The final run that you did was how long?
It was a 50K on Sunday.
And you got back here, because I didn't go, you just went by yourself. You got back here Sunday night. I really expect you to come hobbling in the door, but you came in looking really solid, and you haven't been, it doesn't look like to me that you've even been that sore.
Yeah, my recovery's actually been going pretty well, and I mean, I feel tired, like I could use some extra sleep, but other than that, I feel great.
Wow. And as we've mentioned on this episode, Angie's actually training for a 50-mile trail marathon in Wisconsin coming up. It's the North Face Endurance Challenge Series. If you're in Wisconsin or you want to do a great event, they have lots of distances that day. You can use our coupon code and save 15%, I think. Yeah, 15%. So everyone's being awesome out there. Last weekend was a great weekend for a lot of our members, folks in our online community. Angie, tell us some of the things that have been going on out there at MTA land.
Well, one fun thing we did over the summer was we did the first MTA Summer Mile Challenge. And obviously, since we're Marathon Training Academy, we focus on long distance a lot. But I thought it'd be kind of fun for people to work on improving their mile times. Mm-hmm. And so we had people at the beginning of the summer run a baseline mile, and then they work throughout the summer to improve that. And so we'd like to congratulate the winners. The male winner was Jim from Pennsylvania, and he ran a 5:10 mile. And the female winner was Christy from North Dakota, and she ran a 6:42 mile. Wow. And I'd like to mention that both of these runners are masters runners, so they did awesome. We'd also like to congratulate the most improved male, Ramesh from Minnesota. He made a 19.47% improvement in his mile time, which is awesome. And congratulations to the female, Mary Lee, who improved her time by 15%. And we'd also like to thank Marty, who is our data collector and statistician. He's a former math teacher, so we let him handle all the numbers. So we do things like that within the academy ever so often, and it's a really fun way to challenge ourselves. And
yeah, maybe something like that in the wintertime would keep us motivated to keep training.
Exactly. It'd probably be easier to run fast times in the winter as well, because it'll be cooler. We'd also like to say congratulations to Molly, who became a half fanatic at the Tupelo Marathon. And also congratulations to Mark, who ran the Abibi Bakayla Day International Peace Marathon and got an hour PR. So that's pretty awesome. Congratulations to Kim, who PR'd at the Revel Rockies Marathon. And also to Addie, who got a Boston qualifying time at the same marathon with a time of 3 hours and 39 minutes. And I'd like to add that's her first marathon, so she really started out big, and we're very proud of her. This email comes from Wendy. She says, "First, I'm elated about an almost 16-minute PR at the Erie Marathon. So many things made this possible. First and foremost, your amazing training plan and encouragement. The fact that you not only coach, but are out there doing it yourself, pushing the limits and leading by example is a huge motivator. Also, the MTA community as a support has been amazing. Little things that people would post made such a difference. I've always dedicated my miles to people, but around marathon number 3, I stopped writing them on my arm thinking to myself, regular marathoners don't do this. Well, there was a post recently about writing the mile dedications on her arm in Sharpie, and I commented about how it would be with her for days because it's so hard to wash off. Someone also talked about taking each mile of dedication and reflecting on being grateful for that person or thing during that mile. Those things made a huge difference for me. I wrote out my dedications in Sharpie and took each mile one at a time and just appreciated that mile. The difference in mindset is amazing. Never did I focus on, I still have 10 miles to go. What a great feeling to cross that finish line in under 4 hours and 10 minutes. Today I am pretty sore, but I am loving every little painful moment of it because it reminds me that pain is not always bad. It's often the result of hard work, and it reminds me that I am alive.
That is well said. Thank you, Wendy, for sharing that, and congratulations on a 16-minute PR. She's just getting faster and faster.
So. That's right.
I think her attitude is perfect, you know, when it comes to marathon training, and something that we should all aspire to, don't you think?
Yeah, I thought, you know, especially since we did the episodes recently on making your brain work for you in your training, and I thought that email was really a good example of that in action.
Well, thank you so much, everyone, for being awesome and sharing what's going on in your life. We're going to go ahead and get into our feature segment now, The Marathon That Got Away. Everybody hurts. Sometimes. I am the inspiration behind this episode because I was supposed to run the Tupelo Marathon 2 weekends ago. And had an Achilles tendon issue come up. So went through this painful process of deciding whether or not I should run it, go through with it, or just skip it. I decided to skip it. Man, it was a hard decision. Angie said, let's do an episode on it. We'll call it The Marathon That Got Away. It's a very creative title. And usually, Angie, your titles are not that creative. So I congratulate you on that.
I don't know whether to be insulted or thankful. It's like one of those compliments of the barb.
Angie's content is really good, but I have to sometimes help her with her headlines.
So if you've been running for a while, you may have faced the disappointment of having to miss a race due to an injury, maybe an illness, or some other circumstance. You may have been fighting the injury over a long period of time and then just finally came to the realization that the race wasn't going to be a good idea. Or it may have been something that kind of came out of nowhere that you weren't expecting. In either case, it's really hard to know when to skip or DNS, do not start, a race, and then to deal with the disappointment of not being able to do something that you've been training for and looking forward to. And like Trevor said, he recently grappled with this issue.
That's right. The Tupelo Marathon was supposed to be marathon number 10 for me. I've already done like 12 half marathons, and I can do those pretty good. I was really looking forward to Tupelo because they just have a vibe down there that's just kind of a tough, in-your-face kind of vibe. The medals are like the skull and crossbone, and the t-shirts are tie-dye, and they say trample the weak, hurdle the dead. And it's in September in Mississippi. It's like hot and miserable, and I just thought I would be a gnarly dude if I can go down there and do that.
It's everything you aspire to be.
That's right.
But now, alas, something came up.
I know. We even planned on meeting some folks down there. But about 6 days before we were supposed to leave, I went out for a 10-mile run, kind of a taper run, came back. My Achilles tendon was sore all that rest of that day and the next day. The next day, especially, every step I took, I was aware of it. I thought, this is not good. So I started watching YouTube videos. There's one guy that said, hey, if you can feel a bump back there on your Achilles tendon, go see a doctor. I couldn't get into any physical therapist or sports medicine doctor in our area because it was already like Thursday afternoon by the time I decided to try to get an appointment. Well, thankfully, there's a physical therapy doctor who contributes to the website, to our website. His name is Dr. Ben Chateau. So we jumped on the phone, and Ben kind of helped me diagnose what was going on and give me some pointers on how to treat it. And, well, first of all, what caused it, and then how to deal with it, and then help me think through whether or not I should do this marathon. And this was really helpful, and I want to play part of our conversation because just to show you folks like how a physical therapist helps a runner think about injury. So let's go ahead and get into that right now. All right, I'm on the phone now with Dr. Ben Chateau. He's a physical therapist in Boise, Idaho. He's a longtime listener to our podcast. He's actually a CrossFitter and a runner himself and has done some great guest posts for us over on the MTA website. Ben, thanks for jumping on the phone with me tonight.
You bet. I'm happy to help any way I can.
I'm interested now to kind of get your take on what's going on with my Achilles tendon. So let me just tell you what I've been experiencing. Got this pain in my left Achilles tendon. I went out for a 10-miler and felt it out there. I ran with a friend like 2 days before this, and he was wanting to run a faster pace than was comfortable for me that morning. So I kind of pushed it a little hard with him and felt some tightness in this Achilles tendon. So anyway, that long run was 2 days ago. Ever since then, it kind of hurts to walk every time I step. You know, just walking, I could feel it. It's not like a sharp pain, but it's definitely a pain. Going up and down steps, I notice it. And I guess the most disconcerting thing is that as I feel it back here, there's a lump. So, and I have watched some videos and, of course, talked to Angie, and she's like giving me the worst case scenario of like what could happen if I try to go out and do this marathon on Sunday and I rupture the thing and then I end up needing surgery and a cast. And, you know, that doesn't sound like fun at all. Actually, that's that's a nightmare.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like much fun. So you've never had anything like this before, though, correct? This is all new, never had a prior injury to your Achilles?
No, not to my knowledge. But I should also tell you that I started doing P90X like 2 weeks ago, and I'm doing P90X3, and there's these really serious lower body workouts, and there's one where it takes a lot of jumping around. I was doing that at the same time doing like these long runs for my marathon training. I felt this tightness in my calves because of the P90X, but then I still went out and ran. I didn't really foam roll enough. I didn't stretch enough. So I probably had too much tightness in my calves, and then going out and running probably just did me in on my tendon.
Yeah, it's funny. You're kind of describing every risk factor for developing this. So you've increased your training volume because you're going on your long runs as you're preparing for your race.
Yep.
You met with a friend that had a little faster pace than you would want to have at the time. So now your intensity is increased. And then on top of it, you've increased volume by adding P90X3 exercises. I'm not sure about your recovery protocol on some of those things.
Good point. My recovery protocol was like non-existent. And that's another point Angie said. Angie doesn't coach me, and I don't really listen to her like I should because I'm too lazy. But she's like, well, you don't really stretch after you get back from all these runs, do you? I was like, no, I don't. So that's another thing I didn't do right.
Yeah, and then you got something else that's going against you, and that's your male. And unfortunately, males tend to get this a little more frequently. And I'm going to guess you're over the age of 30, and that also puts you at a little higher risk as well. So you've got several things all stacked up against you. I guess some follow-up questions with that. Have you tried running since you had the bad episode with the 10-miler, or have you just laid off the last two days?
Yeah, last 2 days I've been icing it, trying to keep shoes on for support, and I haven't done any exercise last 2 days. Well, I rode my bike with my son a little bit today, but that was it.
Okay. And how did it feel riding your bike?
That felt fine. Although it's always in the back of my mind, like, ooh, you better be careful.
So right now you've been treating it, you've said, through ice and rest. Have you been doing anything else to self-treat?
Well, as per your excellent blog post over on our website that you actually wrote about Achilles tendonitis, I've been on my foam roller and my smaller Tiger Tail handheld foam roller. I've been using that to roll out my calf. Oh, I've been taking Tissue Rejuvenator also.
Camera Nutrition, that's good.
Yeah.
And in the last 2 days, do you think it's staying the same or getting better or getting worse?
I'm tempted to think I feel like it's getting better, you know? But it still hurt. I still feel it going up and down steps. Definitely hurts to do like calf raises, especially if I try to do like a one-legged standing calf raise on my left foot, on my left leg. Mm-hmm. You know, that would be very uncomfortable to do.
And one other follow-up question about the injury. You haven't been on any type of antibiotics or anything recently, have you?
No.
Okay, good. I just asked that question because there's certain antibiotics that can increase the risk of Achilles injury. Hmm. And so that's a good question to know, too.
Yeah.
So the next question before we talk about what you may or may not want to do is kind of more general theory questions about the race. So with an injury like this, it can go either way. I mean, you could probably push through and finish the race and be okay, but there is the risk of injuring it further. Usually, you're not going to rupture an Achilles from something like this. It's going to be just more pain, more inflammation. It could potentially take longer to heal up from. So the question I have, you mentioned on other podcasts that I listen to, so I do listen to the show, I think you have other races coming up in October. So is this like a really important race for you, or is this just kind of it was here and available, so I'm going to do it kind of race? How does this rank on prioritization for your races?
That's a good question. I've really been looking forward to this race. Yeah, I could definitely afford to skip it. Angie's not going to be running that weekend, so it was just going to be my race, and then I could still cancel the hotel. We do have a couple people we were going to plan on meeting up with down there, but it's nothing as big as what we got planned for October. And I do have the Marine Corps Marathon to run in October.
Well, it sounds like, you know, there's obviously an injury there. You can feel the inflammation. You said you can feel the little lump and nodule, and that happens when it gets pretty inflamed. Hmm. You know, it doesn't have to happen in a case like this, but it's not something that's uncommon either. And the real question is, if you try to push it, you know, what's going to happen? Is it going to be, yeah, I'm sore, extra sore for a few days, and I can get on some really aggressive treatment, be ready to go? Or is this like a, you know, big red flag, and, you know, you need to probably think about not doing the race so you can spare yourself for the upcoming races?
Yeah.
And runners and CrossFitters and, you know, all usually pretty motivated folks, they work really hard to get to the level they're at and to perform at, you know, whatever level they can and do the races. And so it's always can be a challenge to know, hey, is this something I need to back out from? Mm-hmm. Or is this something that, you know, with a little TLC and, you know, tape and super glue and whatever else it takes, can I get through it? And ultimately, as a physical therapist, I always have to kind of talk through all those scenarios with what the person really wants, so they can decide on what's going to be best for them. And so there's not because there's really not a clear cut answer on your particular question, where what should you run or should you not run? If the race means nothing and it was just going to be some, you know, just something you're going to do fly by night, yeah, it's probably not worth getting extra pain. But it's something you've been looking forward to and you'd really like to go out and do it. Well, we might be able to triage you along to get the race done, but you'd have to realize for the next 2-3 weeks, probably, you're going to, at some level, be treating this condition. Hmm. And so that could affect, you know, the upcoming race. The Marine Corps race. So I guess if you're interested, what I can tell you what you could do in the next 3 days, which isn't a lot of time, to try to get this thing sorted out. You had mentioned earlier you had tried to get in to see a PT, but everyone in your area is pretty booked up, which is unfortunate, because sometimes if you can get in right away, and they can, you know, just throw all the bells and whistles at you, get you on the East End. I'm really a big fan of, it's called Graston or ART. It's basically just a tool that they use to scrape along the muscle and the tendon as a type of myofascial release. Mm-hmm. And it works, it's very effective. So if anyone's got this condition and they really need to get it taken care of right away, that's something that I recommend you find a practitioner in your area and have them do that. But in the meantime, with only a few days away, you obviously don't want to run. I would also make sure that you don't want new shoes, but you don't want your worst pair of shoes. You need your best broken pair of shoes. Mm-hmm. And I would combine that with a lot of mobility work over the next 3-4 days and really working on the range of motion, trying to get the inflammation out. So that means frequent icing, mobility work. You already mentioned you're taking the tissue rejuvenator, which is fantastic, so to work on that end of it too.
Mobility work meaning?
The foam roller. Sounds like you've been using the foam roller. You might need to get in a little deeper, and you can use like a lacrosse ball or even massage therapy could be a good option as well if you don't feel like you can do it.
On the calf.
Deep enough or hard enough on your own. Yeah, specifically on the calf, but you really want to look up the whole leg from the whole posterior chain, because we talked earlier, joked earlier that, you know, you've increased volume, you've increased intensity, but there could be something else mechanically that was throwing your stride off a little bit that predisposed this to happen. Hmm. So that could be tightness in the bottom of your foot, could be tightness in an ankle, could be IT band, pelvis. There's a lot of areas that can get tight that just make your run just a little bit different than you normally would, that would predispose you to an injury. And that, like I said, could be IT band, you know, end up with an IT band syndrome or a knee pain. It doesn't have to be Achilles tendonitis. It just ended up that was your problem this time. So whenever there's a lower extremity issue, you really need to branch out from that injury and see what else may have caused it, and then try to work on those areas as much as anything else. So when you are running, everything else is optimized, and then you can just do what you need to do to work on that specific area that's bothering you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think I do have something off. I don't know, and it's messed up my stride or my balance, or maybe I just need a good old-fashioned adjustment from a chiropractor because my hips are off or something.
Yeah, you know, sometimes it can be hard to discover those things, and it doesn't mean there has to be anything wrong. It could have just been the increase in intensity and in volume. But I just find a lot of times you'll find just a few small things, and it's not something you would notice normally throughout the day, but boy, you start putting on, you know, 10, 15, 20 miles, and those little things start to really add up. Hmm. And that's what gets people, and that's what most of these overuse injuries are all about, is just something really small that's easy to go unnoticed until you times that by 5, 10, 15, 20 plus miles, and then your body just says, I can't take it anymore, and boom, you've got an injury.
Yeah.
And so when you try to recover from that, you can't ignore the other areas. And in this case, you know, for you, other things you might work on is a mobility band. I don't know if you are familiar with the mobility band. It's just kind of getting popular, especially in CrossFit circles. It's a thick latex, long, like 8-foot band. But you basically apply the band in the calf area, and there's a couple of ways you can do it over the injury, maybe up a little higher if there's tightness in the calf, and it's a real deep, hard compression, and over the course of that minute or two that you have the band in place, you work on some of your range of motion of your ankle, whether it's just flexing the foot up and down, left and right, and then remove the band, and it changes, the tissue actually changes from that compression. There's still a lot of debate on what's happening with that, but the results are pretty good. And you would do that several times throughout the day to just to help promote blood flow and positive tissue changes in the Achilles.
So what does it take exactly to rupture one's tendon?
That is a really good question. Usually it takes a very quick, pretty excessive force to the ankle to rupture the Achilles. It's a very, very strong tendon, one of the strongest in the body, so they don't tend to rupture easily. Well, and you know, there are times where certain medications might weaken the tendon, and so it could rupture almost spontaneously. So that's why I asked the previous question about your antibiotic. Yeah. That being said, I mean, weird things happen. As I recall, there was, I think it was Donovan McNabb several years ago, was just dropping back to throw a pass. He was a quarterback for the Eagles, and as I recall, he just tore his Achilles just pushing, you know, like a push-off, like he was going to just start to run. So it can happen, but I would say it's not a common injury, especially in a longer distance event, because the forces just aren't as great. It's just that repeated motion, so it usually just aggravates it and causes tendonitis, but I've actually never heard of anyone tearing it from running a marathon. I think you'd be more likely to tear during a sprinting type event than you would from a longer distance event. So that's really not a big concern for me, since you don't have any other risk factors for it. A bigger concern would just be how much are you going to inflame the tissue, and then how long is it going to take to recover from doing the event. If you do all these things we've kind of talked about and you get to the event and you start running, what's likely going to happen is your first several miles are going to be a little sketchy. You're going to be sore. It's going to be a little hard to run. And I would expect it to loosen up. But I'd say most people find 3-5 miles in, right around that point, it feels a little bit better. And then how long does it last is the key. Does it last all 26 miles? Maybe. It depends. Depends on how lucky you are that day. Or does it start to hurt further in down the race? And then you have to kind of decide, can I finish it? Is it how bad is that pain? And is it something I can push through or not? So
how does one decide that, though?
That is always the question of the century. It's a hard thing because you've done 9 marathons, and I would venture to guess all of them at some point in the race where you thought, I'm not sure I want to keep going. I mean, running a marathon's not an easy thing. It's there's a few people out there that are amazing at it, the Dean Karnazes types. But most of us, it's hard, and it's a hard thing. We get lots of different aches and pains. And I think you just know in your gut that, yeah, I don't feel good, but I know that I'm not going to die or it's not going to break and I can continue. Yeah. And then there's other times you just get a feeling and you know, like, this does not feel right.
Right.
And I always tell people, if you're getting that feeling, you're probably better off to not continue because, you know, you guys are real good about this in your podcast. Running should be a lifestyle. It should be a life. And something you enjoy, and it's not worth one race typically to ruin that experience and to ruin that feeling. And you're not a professional runner. You're not getting paid to place. And so it's really more pride at that point. And I, the first one to admit that I probably gut out more things than I should sometimes, but at some point, you know, you have to just decide for yourself, yeah, it's probably not worth it. And that's the hard thing. And I never tell someone what to do as far as that goes. I just kind of try to offer suggestions and offer advice on, clearly this would be a time to stop. This would be a maybe, and this would be, yeah, go for it. You'll be fine.
Right.
And I would say you're in the maybe zone as far as I'm concerned. And you might not know until, you know, a mile, 3 miles, 10 miles in, if you go past that maybe zone. And I wish I could be more specific for you, but it's tough, you know. And then plus, there's a few thousand miles between us, and I haven't actually seen your Achilles.
I know, yeah. I was about to say, it's hard to do this over the phone, I'm sure. This has all been very helpful. I appreciate the mindset you have, too, as a guy that works with athletes, because you know how athletes can be just really driven to get to the race and make all the training count for something. So it's not like you're going to say, well, just, you know, skip it. It doesn't matter. Because these things are important to runners, you know. It's like when we get injured, we could almost just get depressed over it, you know, if we can't be out there running and going through with our plans.
No, you're absolutely right. It's so hard because people work so hard in their training, and it doesn't matter if they're a 3-hour marathoner or a 6-hour marathoner. I mean, you put your time in and you want to do the best you can do. But that being said, it's never worth, you know, a long-term injury because, again, you don't want to just do one marathon. You're hopefully going to run for a long, long time.
Yes.
And if you do something too much or a little just too crazy and you end up hurting yourself for 3 months, 6 months, it's just not worth it. And it's a fine line, though. You just have to listen to your body because, like we joked before, something's going to be sore by the end of this thing. So, you know, if you stop every time you feel soreness, you're never going to complete the goal. And so you just really have to know your body and know what's an okay amount of soreness and what isn't. And it's not always easy. But, you know, if you're honest with yourself, you can figure out, you know, what's just negative talk and soreness and what's actually blinking lights. Yeah, probably not a good idea today. We better save it for another day. But yeah, I totally agree with you. It's important, and these goals and these races, they are important. People do them for all sorts of reasons. You just hate to not complete that. But sometimes it's the route that needs to be taken so you can do it again another day.
Awesome. All right, folks. So if you are looking for a physical therapy doctor who understands the angst that runners go through, check out Dr. Ben over at thephysicaltherapyadvisor.com. Just say a word really quick about what you have going on over on your website.
Yeah, no, I appreciate the opportunity. The Physical Therapy Advisor website was something I thought about for quite a long time. As a physical therapist, I always get questions, you know, what about this? What about that? Mm-hmm. And, you know, healthcare is expensive, and a lot of people have very high deductibles, high copays, and people just, for a variety of reasons, choose not to get some of the care they probably need. And to be honest, a lot of these things, if you just had good, solid information, you can kind of self-manage and self-treat. And so I just started putting all these questions that I get throughout the years down on paper, and I'm putting them in on the website. And so my goal with it is really just to provide really good content that people could go there at any time, look up, hey, I got this problem, and find some quality information on what to do about it.
Awesome. And what I love about the post that you've done for us is it's all about how to self-treat, you know, these various injuries. You've talked about runner's knee. I think you're working on shin splints next. You're going to do a post about that. I mean, lots of common running injuries, but it's all how to deal with them there at home.
Yeah, so many of these things, if you catch them early and you start working on them early, you don't have to escalate them up to actually seeing the physician or having to go on to the physical therapist.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you know, if you can't manage it, that's why you have, that's why we live, you know, where we live, where we can go to a doctor, we can go to a physical therapist or a chiropractor and get additional help. But so many times, if we just take some time to work on those small things, like, you know, recovery, Trevor, then we might not have to worry about going further down that road of treatment. We can just keep running and keep doing things we like to do.
I hear you, man. I hear you. Well, thank you so much for letting me pick your brain and helping me out with this, man. It really helps me have more peace of mind about, you know, the decision I need to make come Saturday morning.
Well, I wish you the best of luck, and you'll have to keep me posted on if you decide to run the 2-pole marathon or not.
Definitely. Will do. Well, I appreciate Dr. Ben. You can find him at thephysicaltherapyadvisor.com/MTA. Well, this would be a good time to thank our sponsor for this episode, Harry's Razors. I've heard about Harry's on other podcasts. I'm so glad that they are sponsoring our show now. And I got to admit, I'm not the kind of guy that shaves every day. I work at home, so don't always have a reason to shave. But when I do, I like to use a great razor. But I don't like to pay a ton of money for my razors. I mean, why pay $32 for an 8-pack of blades? You can pay half that price, get a great blade that gives a great shave when you try Harry's Razors. That's harrys.com. You can get their starter kit for just $15, and you get a razor, moisturizing shaving cream, 3 blades. It comes in a nice box, shipped straight to your door. And if you use the code MARATHON, you get $5 off on your first order. So here's your chance to have a great shave for a great price and have it shipped straight to your door. These types of services are becoming more and more popular, and it makes a great gift for birthdays and anniversaries. Get it for the hairy men and women in your life. Go to harrys.com, save $5, type in the code MARATHON, that's harrys.com, and enter the code MARATHON. So I got to tell you, folks, that I was really distraught over not being able to go down to Tupelo's. Man, I was gonna hit the barbecue afterward too. They got some great barbecue down there.
It's all about the food and the medal for you.
That's right, the t-shirt, and I was gonna wear that thing every day. And I waited to the very last minute to decide not to go.
I'm like, should I be packing? Are we leaving? Are we not? What are we doing?
Yeah, because you didn't want to make the decision for me. So yeah, I really wrestled with it, and I ended up writing down my thoughts, and here's what I wrote down. My rationale for not going. I'm going to have some regret either way. Which type of regret will be easier to live with? The regret of not running this or the regret of running this and injuring myself worse? And the other thing I thought about was this one race is not worth setting myself back in my overall health and running, and especially with my goal for being able to run the Marine Corps Marathon at the end of October, you know, nice and strong. So I kind of came back to those principles and made my decision there. They didn't allow deferment. They didn't allow transfer, no refund. So it was either do the marathon there. And it was really hot, too. I mean, it's going to be like in the 80s. So I had that to deal with. So I decided I'm not going to just push through and then take the risk of injuring myself. Plus, you were like telling me what happens when someone's Achilles tendon ruptures. And apparently, your dad did that to himself playing basketball when he was around my age.
Right, late 30s is a big risk factor for men, especially late 30s, early 40s. So, you know, I just wanted you to consider that. You know, you could be facing potential surgery and a cast if things went really wrong. You know, something that, like your Achilles hurting every step of the way is really annoying for a 4-mile run, but stretch that out to a marathon and you can really do some serious damage.
And if any of you out there listening have had to have surgery on your Achilles, and if you've rehabbed it and got back into running, I'd just like to say congratulations. You were awesome.
That's right. And in our current fitness climate, you see a lot of extreme examples out there of people who've run on a broken leg or while they're horribly sick. You know, you see these memes of people crawling across the finish line or these inspiring YouTube videos with the swelling music. It's inspiring to see how people are able to overcome so much. But then it can also be hard when it comes to your own health to know what decision to make. Do you tough it out no matter what? Or do you listen to that voice of reason and live to run another day? That can be really hard to weigh out. I've heard the acronym DNS described as did nothing stupid before. I thought that was kind of, you know, a good one. But really, it can be challenging to weigh out these decisions, especially when you're invested in training for a race. And we don't want to take that lightly at all, because as Trevor knows firsthand, it's a really difficult situation. We actually posted about your dilemma on Facebook, and we got a lot of comments from people in the community who had or were currently experiencing the same type of thing. Allison says, tough call, but sounds like the right one. I think your listeners would benefit from an episode on that. We can go through with races when we shouldn't, and it makes things worse. I have my own experience, and it ended up with me not being able to walk properly for 3 weeks, let alone think of running. And other people in the community weighed in with times they had to make the hard decision to pull the plug on a race or when they should have done so. So if you've never experienced a DNS so far, count your blessings. But hopefully us dealing with the issue now will be able to help you make a smart decision if you ever have to deal with this in the future.
So let's talk about reasons not to start a race, or a long run for that matter.
That's right. Sometimes a long training run may not be the wisest course of action if you're dealing with some of these things. So the first reason not to run is various sicknesses and symptoms that you might be facing. Things like the stomach flu when you're dealing with vomiting or diarrhea or dizziness. If you're having any type of sharp abdominal pain, that could be a sign of a bigger underlying issue. If you're having any type of chest pain, that's a sign to get to the doctor immediately. A respiratory illness like pneumonia or severe bronchitis. If you're having a worsening of your asthma, if you're dealing with shortness of breath, or a productive cough where you're bringing up some sputum or phlegm that's a weird color especially.
A productive cough.
Yes. Well, there's coughs that are unproductive. You know, you just, a dry cough, you hack and hack and hack, but nothing comes up.
Sure.
Then the productive ones where
it produces something.
It's nasty, you know? Right.
Well, I want to be a productive person, so it's kind of coughing I'm going to aspire to.
And then if you're dealing with a fever, it means that your body is currently fighting off some kind of infection. And if you try to stress it by introducing some long run or race, it could really cause problems for you.
Yeah, well, I'm surprised to hear that, because I used to work with people who would just show up to work even though they had a fever.
Right, and they're basically spreading all their germs around, and other people are going to get it. So, yeah, it's kind of the...
But the attitude was, don't call in sick, crawl in sick. Well, you're saying, if you had a fever marathon morning, you wouldn't do it.
I wouldn't. If I had anything above a low-grade fever, I would not do it. Well, it's an added stress to your body. You know, you don't really know why you're having that fever. Why is your body stressed? What kind of infection is it trying to fight off? What's the underlying issue? And then putting another big stress on top of it, a marathon, you know, it could just be a very, very bad combination. It's, you know, it has been fatal in the past. And so for me, as much as I love marathons and races, no one race is worth dying over or having a serious health setback.
So the first reason is sickness. The second reason is injury.
That's right. If you have a nagging or sharp pain or an area of discomfort that causes you to change your running form, that could be a major sign that you shouldn't do the race. If you're dealing with persistent redness, tenderness, or swelling to an area, these are all reasons not to run as well. You may do more damage by pushing through something like this. Another reason not to run has to do with any type of fracture to your lower body, or if you're just healing from a stress fracture, or if you've had surgery. You really need to respect your body and give it the chance to heal so that you can come back even stronger. Jenny from Hawaii says, I was just listening to the latest podcast, and I wanted to tell you, Trevor, that it's actually quite comforting to hear that someone else has had a DNS due to injury. I don't talk about my stress fracture all that much here, as Angie gets the bulk of my whining, but I had to give up the Tropical Triple Crown, the Kauai Half, the Marine Corps Marathon, and the Honolulu Marathon this year, as well as the Glass Slipper Challenge in February, along with four other shorter races due to my injury.
Wow.
This is frustrating, and I'm so jealous of all the race day pictures I see every week. The only thing that makes me feel better is knowing that I'd rather tough it out now and not do these races so that I can heal and live to run another day. This ordeal has taught me a lot about patience, and I think has ultimately made me stronger physically and mentally.
Well, thank you so much, Jenny, for those words and sharing that with us. I hope that my story will comfort others out there.
That's right. Adolfo said, I had to watch the Caracas Marathon in 1986 on crutches after a knee operation. It was tough to see my training partners finish in 2:56 and 3:04, thinking that I should have been there.
Well, I tell you what, Adolfo, in 1986, your crutches were a lot taller than I was.
That's right. You're in kindergarten.
So here are some questions to ask yourself when making the decision, which is never an easy decision, by the way. Should you run or should you not?
The first one is, have you been told by a doctor or other trusted healthcare professional not to race? Number two, have you been told by your coach not to race? Number three, have you missed a lot of training causing you not to be prepared for this race? Number four, have you had a serious illness in the week leading up to the race? Number five, do you currently have a fever? Number six, will doing this race create the potential for serious injury that will require an extended rehab period?
Yes, that was my problem right there.
Yeah. Number seven, will doing this race compromise some other big racing or running goals in the future?
Yes.
Number eight, will doing this race cause you to miss a major life event or harm a significant relationship? Number nine, will it be unsafe for you to travel to the race? And number 10, what would you advise your child or your best friend to do in this situation? Because sometimes we give other people better advice than we give to ourselves. So if you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you should seriously consider pulling the plug on your race or your long run. And when I was thinking about this podcast, I realized, Trevor, you had to DNS another race back in 2012. We were both scheduled to run the New Orleans Rock and Roll. You were going to do the half marathon, and I was making my first Boston qualifying attempt at the marathon there. Unfortunately, our babysitter, who is my mom, got really sick the week before the race, and we couldn't leave our three kids with her.
Yep.
So, Trevor, you ended up being Mr. Dad and having to sit out the race.
Yeah, I wasn't mad at myself that time. I was mad at your mom.
She mad at her for getting sick?
Why couldn't you get sick when we got back? No, but the kids and I still had a fun time. We stayed at the Drury Hotel down there. Now the Rock and Roll series, some of those have babysitting. You know, for a price, you could check your kids with complete strangers and go run.
That's right. More options now. It's good. Some of the community weighs in here. John says, smart decision, Trevor. I was not so smart a few years ago when I decided to run through an injury and then couldn't run for 6 months.
Wow.
One race is not worth it. Live to run another day. Heidi says, my sister was due to have her baby the day of the race. It was an away race, and I didn't want a chance missing the birth of my first niece. It was a hard decision, but I thought if I'd gone, I would have been distracted during the whole race. Melissa says, I got a call from my doctor the day before my 10K a couple years ago. His verdict, stress fracture. I had to go pick up my boot that night. Not cool.
No way, the day before your race?
I know, I'll be
come
so
get a boot.
Marty said, I canceled my Boston Marathon trip in 2012 due to a foot problem that was getting worse. I always consider the long term more than the short term. I want to be running next year more than just running the next race.
Yeah.
And, you know, each one of these situations, I know there was probably a lot of disappointment and a lot of agonizing, but ultimately, you know, they had to come to what made the most sense to them and what they could, you know, live with.
So now we want to talk about how to deal with the disappointment of having to skip a race. This is something that I'm glad we're sharing here on the podcast, because it can really be disappointing to have to DNS.
Exactly. Even when you know in your heart that you made the right decision not to do the race, there's still a lot of emotions to process. You've probably thought about the race a lot. You've trained for it. You've planned for it, probably paid for the race, you know, maybe have hotel reservations, all that kind of thing. And you may have friends or acquaintances doing the race as well, and they'll be posting about it on Facebook or updating you on their training. And, you know, it's kind of hard to be happy for them when you're the one injured and they're going ahead with the big plans that you had. But really, you know, when it comes down to it, you have to leave your ego out of the decision and even ignore any quote-unquote friends or training partners who try to egg you on to do something that's not wise. You know, like, oh, tough it out. I know so-and-so who ran on a broken ankle and, you know, that kind of thing. You just kind of have to make your own choices and not worry about what other people are going to think.
Nobody said those kind of things to me, but I was worried about what people think, because I knew that if I didn't go to this race that I'd have to explain to everybody, like all 20,000 of you listening here and everybody on our Facebook page, why I didn't go. And so, yeah, it was kind of embarrassing. It would have made for an interesting story, though, if I would have tried to just tough it out.
Well, I think we have one interesting story marathon for you already on the sprained ankle, so better not push your luck anymore.
True.
So yes, when you're kind of processing this, I think it's really important to first off acknowledge your disappointment. It's probably not healthy to pretend that it's not a big deal to you when it really is. You have to, you know, acknowledge that you really had your heart set on this, and it's okay to be upset or depressed. You know, it's okay to have a small pity party, you know, cry if you need to, scream into a pillow, you know, take out your frustration in safe and healthy ways.
Scream into a pillow.
So they always told us to do in elementary school. So don't try to overlook and be like, oh, it's not a big deal, when it is important to you. The second thing is to adjust your plans. If you have some advance notice that you can't do the race, there may be some options that you can check into. Check into whether you can defer your race to the next year. Some races will allow that. Can you switch to a new race distance? If you're undertrained or maybe just have a mild issue, then maybe dropping down to the half marathon or the 10K or the 5K or a relay option may be really good. You'll be able to experience the race, you know, in a similar way, but then not be doing too much and potentially making it a worse situation. Can you volunteer at the race? Now, this may be a good plan if your significant other or friend is also doing the race so that you have to go anyway. You know, that way, you can still be part of the overall atmosphere. You can feel like you're really giving back and encouraging runners along the way, even if you can't run it. Now, if you find the thought of watching other people run it too depressing, then maybe volunteering is not a good option. But, you know, maybe something to consider and would be a new experience for you. And then think about what other things you could do that day to avoid having it turn into a gigantic pity party. It's basically all about distraction. You could maybe schedule a massage. You could go somewhere with a friend. You could tackle a project that you wanted to do for some time. Maybe attend another sporting event. Binge watch a TV show that you enjoy. You know, something that you would look forward to.
Yeah, we just stayed here and just had a normal weekend.
I tried to get you to take the boys somewhere, but you wouldn't go.
Well, it was Labor Day, and I think I did. Yeah, I took them to the lake.
The third step is to remind yourself of your long-term goals. Is your goal to run healthy for life? Do you eventually have the goal of getting a PR or qualifying for Boston? Do you someday want to take on an ultramarathon? All of these goals are going to require that you do what's best for your health in the short term. If you try to take shortcuts along the way, you won't have the best results. So don't feel guilty about things that may have been outside or even within your control. These things happen to everyone. And I usually try to remind myself when I'm having a pity party about something that all my problems are first world problems, which really puts it into perspective. Yeah. You know, obviously races are really important to us. They're a big deal, but at the end of the day, they're not life and death issues. And there's so many people around the world who are struggling with much weightier matters.
Yeah, you're right. I think for me, it's an issue of pride. You know, maybe it's because I'm a man, I don't know, but I hate to think that I can't do something that I should have been able to do and ready to do. Plus, I really wanted that t-shirt.
I know. It's all about the bling. And the fourth step is to refocus on a new goal. This may mean taking time to rehab an injury, focusing on doing strengthening exercises or stretching, seeing a doctor or physical therapist or a chiropractor, doing more low-impact cross-training. Just make sure that your new goal has a realistic time frame so that you don't end up pushing yourself to do too much too soon and making things worse. So it's not like you have to give up on your goals forever, but you may have to set some milestones along the way to get to where you want to be.
Yeah.
Here's some more experiences from the community. Laura says, I had to DNS twice, unfortunately. A torn calf in one case and a bad knee in the other. It was a terrible feeling and I thought it was the worst thing to ever happen. But then I found a little perspective.
Right on.
Henry said, last year I had to DNS a trail race because of an iliotibial band issue. Good thing, too. When I tried to run 3 miles the next day, every step hurt. I made amends this year. I started and finished the trail race. Jamie says, I had to cancel my second half marathon earlier this year due to a back injury. It was horrible and I really wanted to run, but I'm so glad I didn't, as it would have made things worse. And now I'm about to run a half marathon on Sunday, injury free. Christine says, I am one who rarely gets sick. However, just the day before my favorite half marathon, I came down with the worst flu I've had in years, complete with major chest congestion and a high fever. I was so disappointed I cried. My hubby ran it, and I sat in the car with the heat on until it was time for him to cross the finish. Just walking across the parking lot was agonizing, so I knew I'd made the right decision. I'm finally over the disappointment, I suppose.
when she said there that she knew she made the right decision, after I decided to skip this marathon, I kind of wanted my Achilles to hurt just to...
validate.
Yeah. And the good news is it's gotten a lot better. So I hope that I'm on the upswing here.
That's right. Amanda says, I had to DNS the Fort Lauderdale Marathon last year. I had severely sprained my ankle, not running, and I just couldn't get the miles in. I don't feel guilty about it. I learned my lesson trying to run through plantar fasciitis. If it's broke, rest and fix it. So I thought that was those were wise words right there.
Very wise words. Thank you, everybody, for sharing your experiences with us. And I hope that everybody will take away from my story and from what Angie shared and make a wise decision if you ever get put in this situation.
That's right.
Another thing I guess we could say is that along with the disappointment, sometimes we have these irrational thoughts like, well, maybe I'll never run again. Maybe this injury will plague me all the way to the grave.
Right.
And there's no reason to think that way because there's, I mean, what good does it do? One. And number two, is it true? I mean, is it empirically proven that you will never run again because you have this injury now?
And right. Probably not.
There have been lots of runners, famous runners and everyday runners who have gotten injured, rehabbed it, taken the time that they needed off and then got back into it.
And often, this is not what you want to hear right now, but going through an injury or an illness, it actually teaches you something about your body and you learn how to get stronger because of it. Maybe it means adding some things to your routine that are going to make you a stronger runner, respecting your body more by taking rest days, you know, whatever it is. You can choose really to get better because of it and be a stronger runner in the end.
Yeah, I think I learned that all these preventative things that you do on a weekly basis, maybe even a daily basis, are worth it. They really are important.
They are. I had to learn that the hard way myself.
Well, that brings us to the end of this episode and our tips for how to deal with disappointment when you're forced to not get to the starting line of your marathon. If you're currently injured, don't be discouraged. You will recover and you'll be out there being awesome again. I'll echo that back to myself as well.
That's right.
If you want to get the full show notes to this episode, as well as all the links that we mentioned, you can find that over on our website, marathontrainingacademy.com. We also have our itinerary over there. We're going to be at the Des Moines Marathon in Des Moines, Iowa, coming up, and also the Marine Corps Marathon at the end of October. We'd love to see some of you there. If you're going to be at one of these races and like to come to our meetup, you can find out how to do that on our Facebook page or by sending us an email through the contact form on our website. If you enjoy this podcast, please take a minute and leave us a positive review over on iTunes. It really helps the show, helps other people find it, and it makes us feel good. We're so happy to be on this running journey with you. Thanks for being a listener. And like we always like to say at the end here, you have what it takes to run a marathon and change your life. Right on my way, right on my way.